Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Denise Beaulieu, an assistant professor of monogastric nutrition with the University of Saskatchewan. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Beaulieu.
And thanks for having me, Bruce.
Researchers with the University of Saskatchewan have been looking at the potential of processing feed grains as a method of mitigating ergot toxicity. First of all, a little bit of background. What is ergot? And what impact does it have on animal behavior and welfare?
Yeah, ergot, it's a plant disease that we see infecting grasses, but also some grains, rye especially, but also in some years we'll see it infecting wheat. And the symptoms that we see from ergot are a variety of symptoms. Ergot is a vasoconstrictor. So in really, really severe cases, the vasoconstriction might cause gangrene of like the ears or the tails. And so you could even see sloughing of ears or tails, but that would be a really, really severe contamination. More likely, the symptoms would be rather modest effects on performance. So like decreased feed intake and decreased growth.
What actually causes ergot contamination? How widespread is it, and how common is it?
Yeah, ergot, it's caused by a fungus, and so it's most common in years where there's been like a long, cool, moist spring. So, and sometimes the ergot bodies, these are these hard fungal bodies, they might overwinter. So a previous year that had moisture conditions and things that were good for the ergot developing, followed by next year with this long, cool, moist spring. It's like a fungus or other toxins that develop with moist, damp, cool weather that we see perhaps in the spring. And it'll infect grasses. So grasses in like a roadway or something, they could develop the ergot, and that could infect a neighboring crop, or the crop could be contaminated one year after another. And the crops that we usually worry about here in Western Canada are rye and wheat that are most susceptible to the ergot contamination.
What is the premise behind using feed processing to mitigate ergot toxicity? What processing methods have been looked at and why?
Yeah, there is some evidence back in the research showing that when animals were fed diets that had been processed by heat and steam, for example, extrusion, or the feed was pelleted, that there was evidence of decrease in toxicity of the ergot. And the premise behind this would be that because ergot, it's several chemicals, different alkaloids. Ergot is several alkaloid chemicals. So there's several alkaloids that can make up ergot, and within each of these alkaloids can be two different epimers, an R or an S epimer. And we always thought that the R epimer was more active than the S epimer, so more toxic than the S. And there's some evidence that with processing, we're changing where the S epimer is becoming more and the R epimer is becoming less. So we hypothesize that overall processing with pelleting, steam explosion, extrusion would decrease the overall toxicity of the ergot alkaloids by changing the epimer ratios.
Where is this research being conducted? Who actually is involved and in what roles and with what goals in mind?
Yeah, well, we conducted the processing aspects of this at the Canadian Feed Research Centre up in North Battleford, and that I collaborated with Dr. Rex Newkirk, which is a feed scientist here at the University of Saskatchewan. And the feeding trials were done at the Prairie Swine Centre in collaboration with some grad students, specifically Regina Hom, out at the Prairie Swine Centre. And just I've also done similar work with some poultry trials here at the university as well.
How was the data actually collected and analyzed?
Yeah, we did several pilot trials looking at the effect of processing, whether it was steam explosion, extrusion, or the diets were pelleted, and just looking at the profile of both the ergot alkaloids in the ergot itself and the change in the R versus the S apomer to see if we were having effects on that before we did the feeding trials. And so we sent the processed and the unprocessed samples to the Prairie Diagnostic Services, who through their analysis, they have LC mass spec analysis. It's very sensitive. It's very detailed analysis. There's only a few places in Canada that will do this analysis. So they analyzed all of our samples for the different ergot alkaloids and the R and the S apomers within those alkaloids. And we did see that with extrusion or steam explosion, we were indeed changing the apomer profile. So we were decreasing what we called the more active, the R apomer, and increasing what we thought to be the more inactive S apomer. And so then we conducted feeding trials to see if we were indeed changing the toxicity. So we took these trials. We did several trials with pigs at the Prairie Swine Center, and we fed them diets with up to 0 to 4 parts per million ergot alkaloids, and these ergot alkaloids with or without processing. And we did indeed see effects of ergot. We saw some decreased growth, some decreases in feed intake, and we saw marked decreases in the hormone prolactin, which is a hormone required for milk output in the sow. Very dramatic decreases in prolactin when we fed up to 4 parts per million ergot. But we saw no effect of processing on these results. So whether the feed had been processed by extrusion or pelleted, it did not affect the toxicity. 4 ppm ergot had the same effect regardless of processing. So our conclusion from this is that since we did change the apomer profile with processing, but we saw no effect on toxicity, that the R and S apomers have equal toxicity. And this goes against what is being reported, but it is similar to more recent research that's being conducted by different groups in Western Canada, including those at the Vet College here in Saskatoon. So to summarize, we did see effects of ergot. We saw no effects of processing. So we conclude that the R and the S apomer have comparable, they're both toxic.
How will this information actually be used and by whom?
Well, this is important information for those, for example, feeding pigs. We and different groups have shown this dramatic decrease in prolactin when we have any amount of ergot in our diets. So that means that certainly if a producer suspects that their feed might be contaminated with ergot, they should definitely not feed it to any to their sow herd. It will have dramatic effects on milk output by those sows. The other group that would be interested in this are those that are processing feeds or those involved in looking at regulations for toxins in Canada, because historically we were only determining, or if we sent a sample to a lab, they would only measure the R apomer. So now that we've shown that both apomers have equal toxicity, that means that we should be measuring both apomers in these samples. So what we thought might have been only 2 ppm in a sample, because we were only measuring the R apomer, is really, if we measure both apomers, is actually 4 ppm. So this has implications for the analysis of the amount of ergot in our feeds. And when we're looking at older data, trying to compare the older data where they may or may not have been only determining one apomer, it's sometimes hard to determine that from what they describe in their paper. But very difficult to compare our current work to the older work with what we know now about that both aptamers share toxicity.
What more will need to be done?
Well, I think there's still trying to understand about there's still a little bit to know about the analysis of these aptamers, and that the Prairie Diagnostic Services here in Saskatoon, I know, are working in that area. We don't know exactly why ergot decreases feed intake and growth in the sows, and there's lots to be learned about how the ergot behaves in the body. We do know that there is some conversion of the aptamers over time, some conversion of the aptamers in biological fluids, for example. So there still is lots to learn about how these different aptamers behave, and also all of the different alkaloids. So that, like I mentioned, ergot is composed of several alkaloids, and each of these alkaloids is both aptamers. So the different differential toxicity of the individual alkaloids, we still have a long ways to go.
And is there anything you would like to add?
This research was supported by the Saskatchewan Agricultural Development Fund, so I'd certainly like to acknowledge their support of this research, and the staff at the Prairie Swan Center who assisted us, and also, of course, the staff at the Canadian Feed Research Center.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your interest.
Our guest has been Dr. Denise Beaulieu, an assistant professor, monogastric nutrition with the University of Saskatchewan. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.